I did your podcast, then we were supposed to do mine. You forgot. I didn't like it. Hurt my feelings for, we'll go 6 weeks, which is pretty short for me.
Wow,
a pretty short grudge.
Wow.
That's a short grudge for me.
6 weeks?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I could go up to 8 and down to 4.
Do you have do you have paranoid personality disorder?
I don't. Okay. I just, you could say it's narcissism. You could say it's hypersensitivity. You could say it's ego. You could say, or just like, you know what it is?
Hmm.
It applies. One of her, let's just get right into the blocks. Look her up everywhere. We're not going to do the thing where we talk about people we know or whatever. One of her blocks, codependency.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a severely codependent person. So it doesn't seem like it.
No.
I seem very boundaried and because I used to not be.
Okay.
So now when I make an appointment with somebody, it's like, hey, my boundary says we have an appointment. Now, I will note I'm chronically late, but not that. I'm not, I don't forget stuff. So when you violated my boundary of not, of forgetting, I get very mad because it's, I find it so rude. I get like blinded by it, by how rude and disrespectful and just like the litany.
Wow.
Yeah.
Miserable existence. What a miserable, miserable
existence. What do you, why do you think it would be miserable?
Well, there's human error.
Yeah. But like scheduling, we got apps.
Well, also you need to set a boundary that says if you cancel, I will be super upset.
You don't think that's implicit?
Not at all, no. Everybody cancels podcasts. Everybody forgets them. Everybody cancels shows. Everybody fucks up. If you said, I'm getting married and I want you to be there and I didn't go, I understand that because there's a pre-established boundary around that. But a podcast, getting mad about a podcast, I mean,
no.
You're aging yourself rapidly.
I'm aging myself?
Yeah, to get mad when everybody cancels a podcast and to hold on to 6 weeks of anger, you're just going to die early.
We'll see. Yeah. I hope a boy can dream. It was just like literally 10 minutes before you were like, I'm not even in New York.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
Like that's pretty rude. I don't think that's standard. You don't think that's beyond a level. You don't think that, you think that's like acceptable rudeness or not even rudeness. Just like, that's what happens.
I think it's, it's what happened. I mean, I've had, people cancel me all the time. It sucks. It for sure sucks.
You don't, what about scheduling? Do you not have like a shit you have to do?
Well, probably since then I've kind of handed scheduling over to my manager because I'm so bad at it.
I guess podcasts are, but then you do that because you do think it's important.
I think it's important not to fuck people over. I get irritated when people cancel. I think I had the luxury of doing a podcast with Ian, so if people canceled, it was just like kind of a relief.
Yeah.
Because it just meant we could hang out and not do the weird thing. And then when I started RIP, I was like, oh, fuck, it really does fuck me when people cancel because it's just me. And then I hit up my manager and I was like, I'm missing shit left and right. We just have to like stay on this. But that time was a genuine... complete.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just as an adult with things that I am working in tandem, it's a bit like, yo, do you mind?
Yeah.
Not like I turned down Saudi Arabia to do that podcast. I'm kidding. To do the podcast with you. Okay, so tell me about your codependency because
whatever I was doing probably out of New York was probably a codependent thing.
You were seeing somebody at that point?
I probably was trying to manufacture some level of closeness by going on a trip with somebody spontaneously.
Tell them, go.
I don't remember when that was, but yeah, it was probably something like that. I pretty much get hijacked entirely by my codependency. I think addiction is in there too because I'm a sex and love addict. If like, say I'm like in a fight with my partner, I'll just like miss an entire slew of shows just because it's the dominant thing in my
life. Do you do? You're just, you set up like a war room of like what you're doing about this conflict?
It's mostly like calling, like ducking into things in Manhattan, being like, please pick up, please talk to me. It's a lot of like that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Those are real low lows.
Yeah, I seem to be compiled of them.
Low lows?
Well, there's high highs and low lows, but there doesn't seem to be any middle ground.
Well, tell me about the high highs, since we're here.
The high highs would be like the love bombing phase, the sex phase, the right before the blow up phase, the after the blow up phase, the we got over it, now we're back together phase, all of that.
Do you tell yourself stories about the other person?
What do you mean? Do I make shit up?
Well, no, not make shit up. But if it is a high high, or it's if it's a low low and then you get back together, what do you think? I mean, I always have the theory that, like, when people get back together, men pretend to be thoughtful for 6 weeks and women pretend to be sexual.
That's such a good point.
And then they just, like, fall off. Like, oh, then everybody just reverts back to what they actually are.
I think I was caught. I mean, the story that I have is, I mean, this is the whole, like, I, like, went to school for philosophy. And, like, whatever philosopher I was reading is what I believed. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I get in so much trouble politically, because, like, one day I'll talk to somebody who's on the one side of things and I'll be like, 100%, I've drank.
Where do I sign?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then the next day. And I do think that that's very helpful for comedy, and it's very helpful for codependency, because it means I can adapt to anybody's. And it is like a childhood thing where my dad would be like, I think this. And I'd be like, yeah. And then my mom would be like, this is about your dad. And I'd be like, yeah, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? So I learned to be very adaptive. And I think that I vacillate in relationships where I'll be like, this is the right thing for me because it's going to educate me on this and this and this about myself. And then I'll switch to a different one and I'll be like, this will educate me on this and this about myself. And I'll just kind of bend myself into whatever position allows me to have my addiction met while also justifying it with a story.
The addiction is just the action of the relationship?
Not being alone, yeah.
Oh, right. Because the special, a lot of the jokes were like, I'm picturing you alone, fat, and in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the specifics of that. Yeah, totally. But I remember where I was when I listened to it. I was watching it and then I walked. I was in Austin. I don't know when it was, but whenever it came out. And it was like, I was just picturing a fat girl in an oversized t-shirt.
Right. And if I'm alone, I'm worried I'll
revert
there, which I don't ever when I'm alone. It never gets back there. It's always good.
But so you like being alone, but you don't trust it?
I like being alone because when I'm alone, all of my friends that I have completely neglected because of love addiction come out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden I'm surrounded with actual unconditional love, which is what I truly want.
Yeah.
But then that, so I can fulfill the love addiction with my friends, which is a positive way to fill it, but then the sex addiction comes into place and I get monopolized by that.
And do you, when you think about the guys after it's over, are you mad at them?
No.
You realize, like, you were a fool?
I'm like, I'm bad.
Okay. Yeah. Bad choice or bad in your essence?
I think it's like bad choice, bad in my essence. I think it's like, what is it when I look back on it? I get a little disturbed by how long I was able to keep it up, for sure. I'm like, whoa, you really shapeshift pretty hard there.
You were shapeshifting to please them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shapeshift. And then it's like it becomes very like underdog. So I think I'm also addicted to that feeling of getting broken up with or breaking up, and then having this underdog, like, you know, I like will listen to hardcore a lot and walk around and be like, I'm a loner and nobody loves me. And I think I kind of get off on that feeling. So then the relationships I enter are inherently unsustainable because I'm kind of addicted to the being abandoned.
You're trying to get back to the honeymoon, you're trying to get back to you in the woods by yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to just like there's mud on my face and I'm like, damn, I just got the shit kicked out of me. Like, that's how I feel the best, probably. Or the most manic, which is the best.
Have you had a good guy that you ruined?
Yeah.
Great.
I had a sweet guy that, and I know you're watching this and I'm not referring to you. I had a sweet guy a few guys ago that was, I mean, I love him. I'm still friends with him, and he's the best. But yeah, I totally, like, sabotaged it by being a psycho.
Was it boring? Were you bored? Is that why you did it? Or you just did it because that's what the machine does?
I didn't respect him. I didn't respect him at all. And it's like if I'm in a stable relationship where I'm getting my needs met, it doesn't matter if, like, the need that I need met is somebody being, like, slightly superior to me in the way that they act towards me. And if I don't get that, I go crazy.
So if they're, like, thoughtful and considerate and you're like, bleh.
If they're thoughtful and considerate, if I become, like, the dominant force in their life, and which is, like, what my childhood self wants, is for somebody to be like, I'm totally committed to you. But then my, like, intellectual self is like, you shouldn't be with this person. It's holding you back. They don't have anything of their own going on. You have to get out of this. You have to run. You have to bail, or else they're going to make you stupid.
They're going to make you stupid.
Yeah. Like, if somebody doesn't have, if somebody isn't elite to me, then I'm worried.
But I feel like you're, I bet you have a lot of different categories of eliteness.
Yeah. I mean, there's one category that made the humor category is the most elite to me. Like, if somebody had, you can be retarded and have dropped out.
I'm picturing, like, physically, like, lumberjacks.
No fucking way. No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the lumberjack is cool for sex and for validation, but if the humor isn't there, if there isn't an analytical humor thing, I can't hang. I get so aggressive and angry. If they don't see it, if somebody walks in and they don't recognize that that person is a fool, and I go, that person's a fool, and they go, don't be, and they go, be nice, Jordan.
He seems like a good guy. I'm doing the other guy, the guy you're not interested in.
Jordan,
why are you like that?
Jordan, come on.
Why are you being negative?
Yeah. Starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. So much work goes into this thing, and you're not entirely sure it will work out, and it can be hard to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this dang podcast, my business, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. That's true. I still don't really know. What if no one listens? What if I make a fool of myself? What if no one buys my products? Now I know I was right in believing in myself and launching my podcast business despite all of the fears and hesitations. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side. Cha-ching! It says cha-ching. Shopify is a commercial platform behind millions of businesses around the world. 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. from household names like
Gymshark, Allbirds, Chubbies, Magic Spoon, Heinz, and Mattel.
Get ready with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write products, descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email, social media campaigns wherever your customers are strolling. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. What if people haven't heard of my brand? Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Shopify is always around to share advice in their award-winning 24/7 customer support. That's pretty sick. 24/7 customer support. I wouldn't like that. Wish more shit would happen. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try and figure out what platforms is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place and making your life easier and your business operations smoother. And did I mention that the purple icon Shopify button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has been the best converting checkout on the planet. It also helps conversions, meaning less carts going abandoned and more sales for you. It's time to turn those what ifs into cha-ching. With Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Go to shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. That's shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Yeah, if I'm getting into a fight with a cab driver who's obviously being insane, and they're like, you're mean to people who are, you know,
insane. And you say, in people that are insane. And he goes, yeah. Like, people that are.
Haven't you had that before where you're like, how do you not see the same reality that
I'm all day, every day?
Yeah, right. That I can't tolerate. And it makes me belittle people. Until they're dust. If they can't see.
What's the meanest thing you've ever said to somebody in that situation?
What's the meanest?
Because I mean, the male female dynamic generally is like, especially if you're a comedian, is like, I'm a comedian, so I'm like, walk around like fucking no.
Yeah.
I know why. Let me explain to you what's wrong with everything.
It's the best.
And
it's the best.
It's a lifestyle. It's a ideology. It's incredible.
But it also means that the time, I mean, me and you are both similar in this way, that when we have the spiritual connection of like interconnectedness and all of that, it's so huge. Like, it's so, I don't know, like the parallel between those things. Like, in order for me to, I think that we are smart people and we walk into the zone of just like, oh shit, I don't matter. Everything is connected. There is this epic amount of freedom. There's so much like beauty and stuff like that, that it's almost like I balance it out by being like, and everybody's a piece of shit and they don't know shit about shit. I can't walk around permanently being like
in awe and wonder.
In awe and wonder. And also, I think we both have an understanding that if I lived the exact life as the Uber driver that entire time, or the taxi driver, I would end up that retard as well. I do know that. I'm very conscious of that.
I don't, yeah. Oh, the idea of like, he's choosing this. It's like, no, this is just what I was born like. And then,
right.
Either the world affirmed it or I sort of couldn't.
Yeah.
The world tried to affirm it. I was like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. But that bother. Makes you more critical. I don't know if it makes you more critical, but it makes you more like honest with how you're feeling, because you're not like contriving. The meanest thing I've said to somebody is, you are manufacturing a narrative for yourself, and for you to enter the actual reality of what's going on would mean collapsing your entire persona. So you can't see reality. That's like the meanest thing I say. And that's the thing that annoys me.
That's pretty total.
It's so fucked up. It's like when somebody goes, you've changed. It's like the meanest thing you could say to somebody. You've changed. But that's probably, I don't like when somebody is like, they're like, I want to, like, for instance, when somebody goes, I think I'm actually going to give up gossiping. I'm like, you don't know yourself. You have no idea what's going on.
Oh, people turning over a new leaf is like, don't. I literally, when people... I remember somebody lost weight and I was like, and they're like, and I go, I'm not, unless you're actually doing this, I'm not gonna invest in this new you.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want to be, I know how this goes.
Yeah.
But totally. But I also think a lot of life and relationships is watching your loved ones try on all these different identities and fads and being like, I love you either way.
Yeah.
And it is a funny, there's a Jerry Seinfeld joke about we root for sports teams, even though it's different players every year.
Yeah.
And one of the punchlines is we're rooting for laundry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we're rooting for like,
that's so funny.
The body.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I like you. I like who I think you are. And you're probably going to be that. Even though right now you're born again, or right now you're whatever the fuck you're trying. And again, and then I do it. I'm right now, and then you go, okay. You know what I'm doing? I'm CrossFit or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all a fad. And it's like, basically you're going to revert back to.
And I'll love that somebody is turning, that they're a guy who turns over a new leaf. That's great and funny to me. But it is like. When that means that my way of existing is wrong, it doesn't work. And yesterday I did a podcast with my friend Sid and with Ian, and they just were going in on me at how harsh they are. Ian was like, you always make fun of me for bringing up my dead dad so much. And I was like, yeah, you bring up your dead dad too much. And he was like, that really hurts my feelings. And I was like, all right, I'll stop saying it. And he was like, but you believe it. And I was like, 100%. What is going on? And I can't alter my perception because somebody else is hurt by my idea, by my thoughts. And that really drives me crazy, is when somebody is like, the way that you're thinking is inherently not correct. I'm like, that doesn't make, then you have to remove yourself from me because you can't manufacture
you're
the way
not,
that I'm thinking.
I have this, you ever have this issue with your mom? Where you're like, I know what you actually... Again, when someone's being supportive, but when they go like, yeah, great, and you can hear their real opinion in the notes of, yeah, great.
Yeah, totally.
And mom's a good and bad example, but like, just like, ah. So what do you... You think you're going to change my essence based on a decision that you just made?
Yeah.
And... and are gonna are not gonna stick with.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's a bit too big an ask.
It's too big of an ask.
It's not. You're never. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, that drives me nuts. And also, the reason why you need me to change my thought process is because the inherent truth that I'm saying what's going on, you don't want to be the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like with Ian, he's like, I don't want to be the guy who brings up my dad too much. And I'm like, I can't change that by changing my mind.
Yes. And also,
I love Ian. I love you so much.
Of course. It's fucking great. But I'm saying, like, and bring up your dead dad. It's
however
really
much
interesting.
Want. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very funny concept of like, you think I'm gonna, you know what I'm like, you know what I think.
Yeah, 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 totally, totally.
And you ever have a friend who changes and then they know you don't? I've had a friend who was going into something that he knew I didn't agree with. So I knew when he started, I just wasn't gonna hear from him for a while.
Yeah.
And then enough time passed where he was like, I knew when he came back that it was over.
I mean, that happens, yeah, every single time with my friend Harry. Hi, Harry. He'll be like, I knew you went dark because you went back into some bullshit.
Oh, right. You do it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Do,
oh,
you go
God.
Like, well, I can't go to Harry because...
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do better with it. I'm trying to, like, dissociate and then just say the reality that's going on, being like, yeah, I'm doing this thing, and I know that you don't like it, but I'm going to tell you that I'm doing it. Because I do think that the shame that I get from the buildup of not being honest destroys whatever the thing that I'm participating in, whatever, even if it's the friendship or if it's whatever it is.
You're a real double winner in that you're very analytical and have a lot of problems.
Yeah. A lot of problems.
It's a lot of problems, but you're like, you like having them and you like sifting through them.
Yeah, I like sifting through them, and also there is the feeling of like you go to therapy and they're like, just do this, and I'm like, we both know sitting here.
I know what
I'm
supposed to do.
Yeah, of course I know what I'm supposed to do, but there's no fucking way. I'll do it for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, I'll be like, okay, fine, I'll resist, but I'm gonna fucking do it. And like, I pick and choose the things that Yeah, I mean, I think this is the no free will thing, but it is like the whole idea that I'm going to all of a sudden be able to stand up and be like a different person. I can't. It's not going to happen. And I don't want that to happen.
But, and this speaks to addiction, you have changed.
Yeah, I have changed.
How? You knew you weren't supposed to drink and do drugs.
Yeah.
How did you stop?
I quit drinking because I'm like, drinking was just like, for me, a food addiction. It wasn't like I was addicted to getting drunk. It was just consumption. And I was just like, okay, if I have to choose between food or alcohol, I'm going to choose food. And also drinking would make, because I run so slow, drinking would make me do coke. And then coke was something that if I did, I just couldn't stop doing it. So I kind of, drinking was like, if I don't drink, I eat better, I feel better, and I don't do coke. Quitting coke was harder, but I think the way that I quit coke was, I mean, I usually use comedy to threaten everything. Like, I'm like, if you do coke, comedy will be in the compromise.
Yeah.
And that helps me quit. But also, I just ran it into the ground. I mean, I just ran
it.
You
did everything you could do? You accomplished everything you.
I did so much coke. You know what I mean? And then I was like, all right, I've done that. I know exactly what that looks like. And I was entertaining conversations with people that weren't intelligent on coke. And I was like, oh shit, I'm like thinking these people are having interesting conversations and the coke is telling me that I'm in interesting conversations and I have to stop doing that. And
I'm assuming I've done coke once, I think. I'd remember if I'd done it more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can have actually interesting conversations on it, I'm assuming. No. Nobody can?
It's kind of not possible.
So you and I, people who like talking to each other, like basically the same themes, couldn't do coke and keep it interesting.
No, we would do coke and then it would get to a really like, first of all, it takes you right to a narcissistic level. It takes you to like this feeling of like everything I'm doing is elite. So then we would just be talking at each other about how what we're doing is correct, which there's no growth there. That's like a stump.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no like self, you're not, there's no like, it's not like mushrooms where you're like, holy shit, I have to change this. Or like, holy yeah. shit, this will lead to growth. It just validates exactly where you are. So nothing grows. It's just you talking to somebody and being like, totally, yes, totally, yes. And it's that for however long the bag lasts.
And it's totally yes about whatever nonsense they mention.
Whatever it is, it's just like
you 100%. Affirm their nonsense, yep. you'll throw another nonsense.
Yeah.
What flare up and then yeah. we'll go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
it just, and then it's six.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
And then the next day, it's gone. You don't
go, hey, that was cool what we talked about. That never happens?
No. It's gone. It's gone. When the coke is gone, that feeling is gone. It's like when you're on Molly and you're like in love with somebody and then the Molly yeah. wears off and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not, mushrooms and LSD, it lasts.
Yeah.
You can have these giant realizations on LSD that last your entire life. But with coke, it's just like, it's the next day you're like, well, how long did we talk about your relationship
so
to your grandmother?
So how long did you do it for? Did you like in years wise?
Well, it was 1 year.
Oh, you only did it for a year?
I mean, I was fine. And then I like went hard for like a year. Because I was an intern, I was in grad school, and I was doing comedy. And I was dating somebody. So I just would do a bunch of coke and I could like get through all of these
things.
You
could have just said I was dating somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it would have.
And I was dating somebody who did coke, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then you were like, oh, this is stupid.
Then, yeah, me and that guy split up, so the coke. Or maybe, what was it? No, it was a day that I was just like, this is too much. It was getting weird. It was getting to the point where, like, I got pulled over and I was super fucked up on coke. Or I got pulled over drunk because I was going to get coke. It was just stuff like that where I was yeah. like, you know, and I was, like, losing contact with my friends who don't do coke, who I love. And then I went home one day and I was like, Mom, I think I'm addicted to coke. And she was like, how's that going for you? Which is her classic line. And I was like, it's bad. And saying I'm addicted to it got me to stop.
Okay. That like it, you didn't need to go to a program or anything?
No, I don't. I have never been to AA. I go to SLAA for Sex and Love Addicts.
Ah.
But the addiction, the food addiction is the biggest one. I basically can't eat sugar because I'm a sugar addict because I ate it so much as a child.
So do you have to keep your eye on it all the time?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. It sucks ass. I mean, it's the thing is like I'm pretty good except for with sugar. Like I'm not going to eat a bunch of fast food. Yep. But sugar, if I have one, it's just like.
Sugar's really like you can feel. Because if I eat sugar, if I'm in like I used to have a sugar day every yeah. Sunday, I would do sugar just pretty much all day based on what the Rock would do with. You ever see The Rock? On The Rock's Instagram every Sunday, he has like pancakes and just garbage.
Oh, that's awesome.
You should don't watch it. And then on Monday, you're like, I need some sugar. But by Wednesday, you don't even think about it. You would, obviously, but.
Yeah. For me, it's like I have to cleanse it out. I have to do like a huge sugar cleanse, get it all out of my system. And I mean, my body craves it for like 2 weeks. And then I can get it out, and then I don't crave it. But it is like, it's also when I stop eating sugar, I start eating more food, like more food, and then I don't want sugar. But if I'm eating sugar, I'm only eating sugar, and I'm cutting all of these meals just so that I can have sugar. People are giving me Swedish fish, which are my favorite, at the meet and greets. I'm eating them in the green room. I'm staying up all night because I'm tweaked out, and then I need sugar because my blood sugar is dropping. Like, it just becomes this fucking insane cycle. Because I used to have type 2 diabetes, so I think my body is very, like, give me sugar. But
When did you get type 2?
Like, sixth grade. I was a baby. Or fifth grade, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have the blindness thing? Where you go blind for a second?
No, I didn't have type 1. I had type
2. No, but I know people. It's just like you just eat too much. It's just a dietary thing, right?
Yeah.
I know people who got like a blackout on a plane from eating to like he needed to change his diet.
I fainted on a few planes, but I don't know if that's what it was.
No, yeah, it was. That's crazy.
No, and then I became anorexic in high school, and then I got rid of it by not eating.
Not eating. You figured out like, oh, I have a solution.
Yeah, I have a solution.
Fuck everything.
I found the solution. Yeah, I started fucking in people and not eating, and I was like, got rid of it all.
Oh, okay. So you stopped eating.
Yeah.
Started fucking.
Yeah.
Go same. On. Tell me more.
It was just the same dopamine. It was like, oh, I can have a boyfriend if I don't eat. So then I just didn't eat. And I was able to have a boyfriend. And I was like, this is so much
Did you
better.
Like having... So it wasn't about like a bunch of guys. It was just one. It was you.
Yeah,
like
one guy. It was like always one
attention
guy.
From yeah. constant attention from one guy.
Yeah, I really just wanted to get out of my household, and my friends' parents were getting upset that I was always at their house. So I figured if I could get a boyfriend, I could just stay with him all the time. So then I did that, and I'm like so addicted to physical contact and stuff. So once I got that, it was just like my brain was just like. The only reason you got this is because you lost weight from not eating. You must just continue not eating. And then that's just, you know, here's what's fucked up. That is reality. That is a devastating reality. If you are skinny, you may have boyfriend. That is like modus ponens logic equation that is 100% sound. Isn't that fucked up? It's 100% true. And I lived it. I was literally
You don't
like,
think there's a point where if I hate to step on modus ponens. Is yeah. that it, too skinny guys are not?
Not true. Not
you
even
think,
close
you don't think
to
that
true.
There is a too skinny?
Nope. There's a too fat, and it comes up
oh,
pretty.
There's
quick.
A too fat, and it's not very. It's not a big.
Yeah,
very
I never
big
got
number.
Deathly. I mean, I'm, you know, the lowest I've ever been is like 145. You know what yeah. I mean? But like, yeah, no, you don't. There, people will take the too skinny. Too small, insecure Jews will take the too skinny.
You're narrowing it.
Well, it's true. You've seen it. You've seen it. Have you gone
made
too skinny?
No, but I've made the conscious decision if I met a girl that I'd be like, you're too skinny. She's too skinny. Like, because I know about eating disorders.
Yeah, but your gag reflex informs you about the fat people, but your mind informs you about the skinny people.
Too skinny. The gag reflex comes.
It does.
So you know about yeah, you know that like, I have a gag reflex about. I'm kidding.
That's like Kenya. That's like fucking you know people who are starved, right? Like bone.
Yeah,
people.
But you know it. Yes, like, or what's an but also I lived in skinny. LA for a long time, so like
yeah.
you know it gets pretty wild.
Yeah,
in terms of like you know juice and cleanses and just like ugh. No, this shit, this it's wild. So yeah. there is a too skinny. I love the idea that if skinny get boyfriend.
It's true.
I love the simplicity of it.
It's so fucked up, but it is true. I mean, you can't, yeah, you can obviously go over into the deep end, but even if you rejected that skinny girl, there will be somebody
yeah.
There will be somebody who is attractive and elite yeah. who will take her. You know what I mean? It's not yeah. just like an ugly guy. Whereas like yeah, if you're
fat, there is no fat. There's, nothing. There's no inverted.
Yeah, I mean, it could
there's
be
no
another
converse
fat,
fat
guy,
rule where, but, like,
yeah,
like, well, there's a yeah. And have you had to disabuse? What have you learned in SLA?
I mean, SLA was the big thing that I got from SLA was how I. What's the big thing? I mean, a big part of it is like making amends to people who you've kind of like used as validation. Like you've been like, I'm going to keep this person around because they give me validation. And you're not even
sexual validation or
like, you know, when you have a like I would have a boyfriend and then but I wouldn't be getting something from him. So I'd rope in some other people that were in love with me to be like, I'll get other things and I'll lead them on.
Not fuck them. Probably
not
most
fuck
of the time.
Em. And then maybe like
if you were losing them, you'd fuck them, but not.
Right. Exactly. And then like I'm shoring up that relationship. And then another thing is. It's like I learned from it that I was the enmeshment thing is like I basically thought that if me and somebody have opposing feelings or ideas or moments of being separate people, that was abandonment. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay. That's,
say that again.
Like if me and somebody had opposing ideas or if we had a day where we weren't emotionally on the same page, then I thought that I was being abandoned. Like I took that as abandonment.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough, everyone doesn't have that. You don't, I mean, it's the codependent thing of like, if somebody doesn't text you back, you're never going to see him again. Like, well, right. I guess that relationship's over.
I just got to the point in my life where when I break up with somebody, I'm like, damn, that's their loss as well. Like it used to be like, it's just me suffering because they won't miss me. And now I'm like, oh, that sucks that That sucks for them that they won't.
What do you think the difference is? Netflix?
But dude, honestly? Honestly? No.
No. I don't know. Yes. Bunny? Whatever you think you're seeing on her face when she said, honestly, you're not seeing it.
It is crazy how much that helps. Dude, if
your self-esteem.
It's like if I have a bad set, all of a sudden I'm texting my ex. You know what I mean? If I have a good set, I'm like, who? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I think a big part of it is, I mean, I think I got, what did happen? What happened was I started realizing that every time something good happened, I was making it bad in my head. Like anytime somebody validated me or was like, I really love you, I would be like, yeah, but you're saying that because of this. And now I just like allow it to be true.
That it might be true. You don't agree with them, but...
Yeah, I don't agree with them, but yeah, totally. But I'm like,
you can
okay.
See how a person would think that you're pretty or smart or funny or whatever. You
or
can
I
understand
just,
that.
I just believe it. Like, I just am like, okay, they're saying, I don't believe it about me, but I believe that they think that. You know what I mean? I'm like, somebody could think that. Even
what
if
do
I
you
think
when you look in the mirror? And I mean that actually and like proverbially.
Summer always makes me rethink what I'm reaching for every day. Lighter fabrics, better materials, pieces that feel good in the moment. The moment you put them on and they look effortless. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. I do like Quince. They focus on high quality essentials. Think breathable linen and soft organic cotton, washable silk without the luxury markup. It's that rare balance where everything feels elevated but still easy. Quince has beautiful everyday pieces like 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops with styles starting at $32. Their denim is soft and easy to wear, and their organic cotton sweaters are perfect for layering on cool summer nights. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's just not clothing. Quince has really become a destination for elevated essentials across home, kitchen, bedding, and beyond. Make it easier to bring home premium, bring a more premium feel to everyday life. I get a lot of compliments on my Quince curtains, and all my kitchenware is from Quince, and my bed sheets are from Quince, and my luggage is from Quince. I really like Quince because everything I get from there is like good quality, but it's also plain, which I really like. So it's like makes it look really fancy. I really do like it. I highly recommend their curtains. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/RIP for free shipping on your order and 360-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/RIP for shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RIP. Proverbially, I think it's like... I look in the mirror. It's like... Interesting.
Appeal, like, what categories do you rate yourself in, and what's the rating?
I think the appeal of me is that if you're with me, you feel like you're kind of in on you get like to see behind the scenes a little bit, because I feel like it's mostly dominant. I'm mostly dominant presenting, so if you're with me, you get to see more of a soft side, which I think is the. I think that's the allure of being like, I'd like to see Jordan when she's not on one. And then, but physically, like actually, I think it's probably like a strength thing. I think there's like a, you know, when I've talked to people about it, it's like, you're not going to break. I'm evenly matched, which I think is the appeal.
The thing about seeing behind the curtain, does it feel like you're losing a little bit when you let them behind the curtain? Like, does it feel like you've lost because it's vulnerable? Do you like being vulnerable? Are you either averse to being vulnerable, or are you dying to be vulnerable? Because it seems like it could go either way.
Interesting. I think I am dying to be vulnerable for sure. And I also think... Yeah, I think I do this thing where I'm like, because you saw me vulnerable, you owe me something. Like, you owe me a certain level of allegiance. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
That is a weird thing where I'm like, you can't abandon me because you saw me vulnerable. And if you saw me vulnerable, that's you making a commitment to keep things going. But I don't.
But that wasn't their decision.
It wasn't their decision. And it's also there, that's yeah. dismissing the fact that that's basically being like, I'm going to show you the monster behind the curtain, but you can't leave. And it's like, I have to like accept that me being vulnerable is not something that is, that doesn't mean that I showed them some horrendous thing that now they can't.
Or that you showed them some great thing. It's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's just okay. Reality. Yeah, totally. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, the mirror thing, physically, it's always apologetic. I'm very apologetic about.
I don't even mean, like, how do you look? I just mean, like, are you, it seems like you think more of yourself than you used to. And I don't mean physically. I just mean, like, you used to think you were.
The more self-deception I cut out, the more I think of myself. So the more, like, the more things that I, like, when I'm being self-deceptive, my entire life falls apart. Like when I'm lying to myself and staying in a relationship, even though I don't want to be in it, when I'm binge eating sugar, even though that I shouldn't, when I'm dodging my friends because I'm like, then I really start to hate myself. Like when the lying creeps in, like the lying to myself, I like become something to my, like my posture changes and I get really weird. But if I stand by what I'm doing, then but it's like a very active thing that I have to do. Like I have to be like.
It's also counterintuitive for most people, because I think most people are lying and not being honest.
Yeah.
And they go like, "No, this is," and it's like, "No, dude, you're losing credibility with yourself."
Yeah, 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 totally.
And the minute you start being like honest about what you are, then I've never heard someone say that. That's such a great. I mean, it's kind of the point of 12-step groups.
Yeah.
Of like, if you're honest, it's better.
It's always better. And sometimes being honest means not compulsively being honest. Like, that's a thing that I had before where I'd be like having a thought that I shouldn't say out loud because I knew it was going to be painful to somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
Or like, say we walk into a bar and I had been there with a previous boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
I would go, oh, yeah, I came here with my ex. There's no reason to say that. You're going on a date with somebody. Why would you say that to them? But I would do these compulsive things. And now I'm like, I can keep shit for myself. And this idea that comes up that's like, say it. I'm like, I'm not going to say
it. Well, yeah, that's being aggressive and shitty.
And being
under the guise of like, it's when people are like, I'm just being honest, man.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off.
Totally.
You're just being nasty.
Yeah. And that wears me the fuck down.
Now, if you've been there before, do you pretend to not know where the bathroom is? How far will you go?
I will be like, I've been here before.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't be like, but
huh?
Yeah, totally. And also there's like stuff.
Mexican? I've never eaten it.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, there's shit like that that I'm just learning how to do where I'm like, yeah, you don't have to divulge everything. You're allowed to have private conversations that are just between you and somebody. It doesn't, you don't need to expose every part of you. I used to have this fear. My OCD used to be very dominated by, I'm worried that other people are going to rub off on me and I'll become a different person. So what I would do is I would just tell everybody everything all the time. And I'd be like, just so you know, this is who I am.
To keep, why?
Dude.
To do what you did it like. Hey, I'm not going to be like you. I'm like this. I'm like this.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like this. I'm like this. So just so you know.
Yeah, like, hey, just so you know, there was a guy in class today and he asked me for my number and I thought that I should tell you and I said no to him, but there was a moment where I thought maybe I should, but I just want to be honest with you that that's what happened. And they're like, I don't fucking care. And I'm like, well, just so you know, I didn't do it, but I did think there was a moment where I thought about doing it for sure.
So you do it in relationships?
Yeah.
Or like all the time?
I do it in relationships is like the big issue. Yeah, totally. I don't do it.
Well, that almost sounds like you don't want to be dishonest about anything.
I don't want to be dishonest about
anything. I know, but the problem is you just kind of have to be.
Totally.
And
it destroys,
like,
I mean, the last relationship I was in, I just couldn't, just everything that I thought I would have to say out loud. And I think I was like trying to get out of it for sure, but it was just like, and there is, it's, the amount of like power that I have gotten back by just being like, I am my own, I'm in my own orbit and I'm allowed to have my own fucking thoughts and I don't have to share them, which, because the only reason I'm sharing them is to tether people to me and being like, but I showed you my soft underbelly, so you have to stay. You have to stay because I showed you these things and I told you who I was and you have to stay. And like, once I realized that it wasn't this like adorable honesty thing that I was doing in order to like show people my true self, but it was this way of like also tethering people to me, I was like, that's like a weakness. You can't.
Would you get mad at people when they weren't tethered to you because you'd been honest or you'd been vulnerable or you'd be?
Yeah.
Would you ever say like, I showed you my whatever?
Yeah. In relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stable with like friendships and stuff.
Well, it feels like you have a lot of, I mean, this is probably the human condition, but you have a lot of like reflexes that are not who you are, who you want to be, and you know who you are inside, but you still have all these old fucking 25-year-old reflexes, and you're like,
totally.
And then the real you ends up in these situations where you're like, why am I here?
Yeah, totally.
And it's because reflexes are reflexive, and you can't get ahead of them.
Yeah, totally.
Unless you go to a program, almost every day, or something almost every day.
It's just like such a fucking active thing. I mean, for a while I did this like active thing where every moment I was assessing and I was trying to discern and I was being really like aggressive with being the person that I wanted to be. And then I think I slid into like, I'm just going to let it go and go sicko mode. And now I'm kind of in this place where I'm like, I need to be able to observe my behavior passively with acceptance. And then that allows me to change more organically than just being like, do that, go to the gym, wake up, do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, but yeah, I also think that's just aging. Like, I also think like your 20s is all about being like, I refuse to be this person. I'm gonna be somebody else. I'm gonna fucking jury rig this thing into the thing that I want. And then your 30s, you're like, fuck, I think I just might be this person and I hate it. And now like I'm almost 35 and I'm like, there is literally no point in hating it. And then you start actually being like, okay, here are things that I like, and I am like, you start saying
it's also like, if you don't even think about the parts you hate, you can just stop, like they will kind of like fade away. Like you won't even be in situation, you will, maybe you stop being in situations where the hateable parts flare up.
Yeah. And I think there's role playing that can happen. I think on stage I can play this role of like, fuck that, this is stupid, that's gay, that's bad. And then I can also know that, like, I don't give a fuck what people do with their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that is okay to have both of those.
I was going to ask you, because when you're talking about, like, you would become, one of the great codependent things is you just become the ideology thing of, like, oh, whatever my mom says, I'm that. Whatever my dad says. On stage, when I see you doing crowd work, you are yourself.
Yeah.
And you are, your point of view is not, it's like, I know you don't hide what you think.
Right.
Which might be why you like it.
It's the best. Yeah. It's the best. I mean, the other day I had this thing where I just was in this like fucked up relationship battle and I was so and then I just stepped on stage and was like, I get to like take a break from all of this trying to be a good person, trying to not be a bad, all of this stuff. And I just like, you know, and I can just exude the rage and I can let it all out and I can be like, fuck this, fuck that, that sucks, that's good, that's bad, and have these like, and then, but because waking life, you're just not allowed to. My favorite thing is giant black and white thinking, sweeping generalizations. I
when
like
people
that.
Say you shouldn't generalize, I was like, I've built a very nice life for myself.
Yeah.
From racial stereotypes are wrong. Not if you do them right.
Yeah. Not if you're correct.
Yeah, like not if you do them. Like gender stereotypes. I completely beg to differ. If you can say something about a group of people that no one's noticed, and then the minute you say it, they go, "Wow."
Yeah.
Then you're doing. Most people can't do it.
Yeah.
Some people can, and the ones who can should do it without any shame or humility.
Also, it's just delusional to think that every single person isn't making a value judgment at all times.
At all times about everything.
It's constant. That's all we're doing is making meaning to things. And you're just saying it out loud. And then, I mean, that like annoys the shit out of me when I have friends who are like, you're just really harsh and you just like, it feels like you're judging me. And I'm like, I am judging you. You just made a horrible decision. Would you prefer? We are friends because you know that I'm not going
to
lie.
You like my judgments about most things.
Yeah, totally.
I'm pointing the machine at you now.
Yeah. Yes.
Because exactly. That's, you asked for the, it's,
and
you've
I
seen
love
me
you
hit
and
the
I'm
laser.
Not going anywhere.
Yes, I'm not
going
to, it's not like, and therefore fuck yourself. Yeah. It's, hey, I
and
actually
I've
love.
And I've told you all of my fallibility. You know that I'm all of these contradictions as well. So it's okay that you are too. It's not like I'm being like, I'm good and you're bad. We just spent 45 minutes talking about how I'm bad. Now I'm going to say, that guy you're fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, people.
But I don't, what I'm saying is there, so the person who's making the snap judgment in the crowd work, right?
Yeah.
Where she go when you get off stage? But, or obviously she's still there. Who was speaking for her?
Oh, when I'm off stage?
Yeah.
That's the, there are people that I can talk to the same way I talk about, the same way I talk how I'm on stage.
Yeah. Do you want to get to the point where you can, obviously when you're like buying coffee, mm-hmm. you don't, people don't want to, you don't need to say that he's got a tight ass shirt.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like, is there a way you can stick? Yeah. Like, do you want to do it with all the time everywhere?
No.
Or do you think it's inhumane? It's like, man, take it out.
Well, I'm worried. You know how when people get old, they just start blasting their thoughts all the time? And it gets really out of touch seeming.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels like they have to be saying it or else they'll cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Like, I'm very scared of that. So when I'm talking to somebody, like my best friend Brianna,
mm-hmm.
she's not somebody who I'm going to be like, I think this about this race. I think this about this gender. I think this about, she's just not like that. She doesn't like that. It doesn't make
her feel
good.
She doesn't like that fun.
Yeah, she doesn't like that fun. She doesn't, she, and her humor and our humor together is like, you know, silly stuff about a dog who has human eyes.
Right.
And like when I'm with her, that part of me that's like, yeah, I don't care about the Kantian categorization of human beings. I care about how funny it is that guy has human eyes. And then when I'm with Jake, we're like, you know what? I'm all in on this. I'm all out on this. I'm all. And that's like, so I have places where I do that. And I definitely keep people in my life that are not for that because I don't want to just become a loudspeaker of the black and white thoughts because I'm doing that on stage.
Yeah. I wonder.
My mom is like that. She's a loudspeaker of black and white thoughts. Like if you were like,
I liked her mom.
Yeah,
energetically.
Of course. Of course. You guys are so similar. So similar.
I talked to her for 10 seconds. I was like, yeah.
She's the best. But she is somebody that when you're listening to the telepathy tapes, where they're, she's like that. She's like, fuck that. It's not real. And I'm like, can we just suspend our black and white thinking for a second and enjoy this podcast?
But well, I'm both. Because I love the telepathy tapes. And then
see,
I love the frontline debunking of it that was done in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. That's again, great. This is like, there, yes. There, and I didn't,
but
I listened.
They were great. You listened
to them. I listened to them. I was excited. We're all
my
excited.
My mom was like, shut this horse shit off.
Now, The Hill is pretty hard to argue with.
The Hill is sick.
The Hill's sick.
Yeah.
And I'm also like in that world more and more. So it's like not the Hill world, but like the possibility of the Hill world. But then once you hear the debunking of it, you're like, yeah. The only thing that you can't debunk is The Hill. But the rest of it's like Ouija board.
Yeah, but I also feel like if somebody was like, do you ever meet up on a hill? I'd be like, yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? I think so.
Like every dream is the hill?
Yeah. Yeah. Or any hill is kind of a hill, you know? You're like, yeah, I think I've seen the hill.
By the way, this is a side note. I think dream analysis is stupid.
I know, and it's stupid because I'll say a joke and then it's immediately what my dream is every time. And I'm like, I literally just did.
And I've had a dream that Lorne Michaels is mad at me every night for 25 years.
Yeah.
And,
I hate dream analysis, and I hate when people talk about their dreams.
Anyway, and then my lady was saying that she read a study the other day that, like, of recurring dreams, like, the number one is falling. And like the number, like my point is, or this is my other point is the idea of sweet dreams. When people go sweet dreams, I'm like, I've never had a sweet dream.
No.
Ever. These are not, they're all kind of nightmares just on a scale.
Yeah. Totally.
So this idea of sweet dreams, like who the fuck is having?
No, I've never had a dream where I'm surrounded.
I think we're the only ones who will admit it. I mean, by the way, it looks like we've never had sweet dreams.
Who has had sweet dreams? Who's had a good dream?
I completely agree. There are people out there who will wake up and say, I had the sweetest dream. I've never heard a guy say it, but women will say it. Guys have never mentioned their dreams.
All my dreams are me closing my eyes and my dad being like, I wish you weren't here right now. And I'm like, well, that's a little cut and dry.
Come on, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, I have dreams every night that just the closest person in my life is like, I don't even know who you are. That happens every single night. It's crazy. I hate when people talk about dreams. It's like when they talk about what they ate. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
It's
you're gonna
what
shit
you ate.
It out.
It's your yes. It's what you're gonna eat. It's what diet plan you're on. It's what it's how you exercise. It's also your psychedelic experience. Don't want to know.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah.
And I love them. So dreams are stupid. Let's wrap up that segment. Dreams are stupid, and none of them are sweet. Okay. Rage.
Yeah. I have bad rage.
Do you think rage, because people I know that have rage, is, it seems like comes from bad parenting? Because, like, the idea being that you're depending on this parent as a child. They are not dependable for a variety of reasons. And then you're like, fuck. And then and you have anti-authority on here, too. Like, all authority becomes, like, it's all a referendum on your parents.
Like no, it's not against my parents. Our rage is biological. My dad had rage, I have rage, and my sister had rage. And my dad used to hit my sister, and my sister used to hit me. And we...
Like the Three Stooges? Like
Yeah.
Skillets?
Down the line. Yeah, and we get smoked with a Russian doll of abuse. And so we fight to the death, and my sister is an athlete and would get in the penalty box every fucking night during hockey. My dad has a million concussions from beating the shit out of people in rugby. And I've gotten in 1,000 physical fights. It's like a Vitamix here. And the only thing that has helped me, I go in the pit at hardcore shows. I listen to a lot of hardcore, which helps a lot. Fucking helps a lot. Boxing helps a lot. But like stand up helps. Stand up, I've gotten off stage and started crying just because I'm like after you orgasm, you'll cry sometimes. That's how it feels, where I'm just like, I mean, I'll just fucking lose it and get off stage and be like, that was the best feeling ever. Or if a guy beats the shit out of me during sex, it's like, that's the best, that'll get me to cry because I'm like, that was so in touch with the truth. So much more than calm shit. But like true, like I want like physical violence all the time.
Do you think there's anything wrong with it? Not no. Like the wanting to be beat up by sexually.
Not even nothing wrong with it. No.
And like, do you have to walk guys through it? Be like, hey, I'm gonna need just. Or do you think most of the guys, most of the applicants, know what they're signing up for?
I try to like avoid it, but then it eventually creeps in for sure.
Oh, so you try to be vanilla-ish.
Yeah, I try. I try to get it just through like the physical activity of it.
Right.
But then I'll eventually just be like, all right, I need you to do this. Or it'll slowly get there and they'll figure out that I need it. But it's also like, that feels the
closest.
What
if they did it immediately? Would that be like too soon?
If they did it immediately, I would get violent back. You know what I mean? If they did it immediately, I'd be like, who the fuck do you think you are? You know what I mean? You have to prove that you're safe. Yeah. But no, it's like it has to be crept in. It has to be safe. And then it also is like, for me, the nicest thing that somebody could say to me during sex is, I fucking hate you. Because that feels so incredibly honest. Because I know they do. I know that everybody, whoever I'm dating, fucking hates me and wants to twist a knife. Yes, 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 yes. Because that's how it feels. That's how it feels to be
in love
with somebody.
No. There's a big difference between you fucking hate me and I feel like you fucking hate me.
No, I know they do. I know they do.
Why?
Because I run my mouth all day and then you're going to have gentle sex with me? Go fuck yourself. I know that's not the case.
Are they also running their mouth?
No. I mean, sometimes.
If I'm running my mouth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And my girl's running her mouth, I'm not like, you fuck, you got a lot of, especially if like the
girl's. Yeah, but then they're upset with me for putting them in this position. Funny. Then there's like this feeling of like, I know that there's this feeling of like, you run your fucking mouth. You think that I love you because I'm here. And I secretly fucking hate you. And I know that that's true. And I have the feeling towards them too, where I'm like, I know that you could hurt me and I fucking hate you for that. And saying that is the closest to love to me. I love you is bullshit. I fucking hate you and yet I'm here. That actually feels like love. Because you do hate that person. You hate them for putting in a position where eventually something bad will happen or could happen and you can hurt each other. And there is this underlying violence to love. There is. And it does. It should never be actually violent. You should never hurt anybody or punch anybody. But there is a feeling of like, you could really fuck me up. And that's what we're doing here. And we're not acknowledging that. So when they acknowledge it, for me, that's like
true. You think it's security. Both way, or you think it's men toward women? Women know, like, I could beat you up whenever I want. Their guy could beat them up whenever they want.
I think that when you fuck a woman who you love and when the woman fucks a man who they love, they both genders are very aware that that other person could humiliate them, destroy them, hurt them, like abandon them.
Yes, you are trapped in this. It is very like there is the limitation is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the point, and at the same time, yeah. It's resentable.
It's resentable. Yeah, totally. One night stand, I would never say I hate them or want them to say I hate them to you. But if I'm in
would
a relationship.
Would you want a like big dude to, in a one night stand to go hard in the paint?
No.
No.
No, I would get hostile. I mean, I don't have one night stands. I can't. They don't do anything for me. But no, I would want the one night stand.
Well,
to
nobody
be, like,
thinks
fun.
It's going to be a one night stand. It's just it's a nice yeah. surprise.
If they were aggressive, I probably would date them for 3.5 years. You know what I mean? Because I'd be like, well, that's love.
So you think, and does it, do a lot of them end up in that place of like, it is a mosh pit?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
How long?
Like how long?
Before it's a mosh pit. Give me the shortest and longest it took.
It usually takes the same every time. It usually takes like two months. And then they're like, oh, shit, this is a mosh pit. I need the mosh pit. You got to have the mosh pit. The mosh pit has to happen. I can't entertain.
You like hitting them back?
I don't hit them. It's more just like, you know, like that. And saying I hate you. I like saying I hate you. And I really like when they're like, get off of me. And I'm like, please. That feels correct.
In the middle or after?
In the middle. During. Before.
Like they, is it a fake? They get off me like I'm repelled by you?
I really don't like being like pursued intimately. Like I don't want anybody like wooing me. I really want it to be like, I hate that I'm here with you, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what I like.
So to you, foreplay is what?
Get off.
But by then you're already, oh, you're like,
get off,
grinding,
get
you're
off.
Like grinding them.
Yeah, I'm like, get I'm the like fucking a disgusting stop. Creature that they're like,
stop.
That I'm convincing them. That's the best.
What?
Like, imagine somebody's doing their taxes and they're like, I have to get this done in an hour. Don't talk to me. I'm fucking all over them.
And you want them to, part of the game is them go,
stop.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The clock is ticking, and then it close up with the clock
yeah.
of the countdown.
Even like, you're gross, get off.
And then you like convincing them? Is it part convincing, or is it part like domination?
Not domination, convincing. Like, they're like, fine,
is that
Jesus.
Like a role play thing, or are you actually, it's legitimate? Do you say like, hey, fight
now
me a little
Now I'm doing
bit.
It in role play, so I'm
Got
learning
it.
To not.
Do you think that's better?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Now I'm being like, tell me.
Because you can pretend it's a character you're playing?
Because they know.
This isn't me.
Because I'm
this
not
really
raping
me.
Somebody. Like, because right. if somebody's really doing their taxes yeah. and I'm clawing them.
Oh, and also, a few people went to jail because you wouldn't let them finish their taxes.
Right.
A few people got thrown in
yeah.
jail for tax evasion.
Yeah.
Huge
it's actually,
fines.
I'm paid by the CIA.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Huge fines. And then in terms of like beating, How bad? Is there a too far?
I don't like stinging. No stingy.
By the way, you say it like I knew about stinging. What stinging are
like
you talking
slapping
about?
Slapping stings, pinching stings. Like, I don't like that. I like hard mashing and like squishing. You know what I mean? Like maybe face, fuck you. Whatever's demeaning. Not demeaning, I don't want to be pissed on. But like a struggle. Struggle. My mom calls it a struggle snuggle. That's what we grew up doing.
Pretty good.
Is just being like, that's what me and my sister did with our parents. Is our parents would be like, get off of us. And we'd be like, please, please, please. And they'd be like, get off. And we'd be like, oh. That's how I grew up with my dad, is just clawing at him and him being like, get the fuck off of me. That's the best. Any, like, we're coming together and that's nice, but
I can't. Is there any point in the interaction where you want them to actually be there with you, or is that then they're a pussy?
Like, no, after, yeah, after.
After, so you want, like, get off, fuck you, you won't get away with this, knock it off.
You won't get away with this, like, we're...
Call the embassy. And
like
then,
we're in the fucking 1930s. You ain't gonna get away with it, see? I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna throw you in the link. The clink.
Do you want them to be like, we're not so bad afterward? Is it like, hey, fuck yeah, right? What? Bing,
the
bong.
The best is afterwards. It's like, hey, okay, yeah, I'm good. I love you. It's afterwards where it's like, are we cool?
I was wrong about you.
It's just like snapping out of it, and you're kind of like, okay. But yeah, that's like what I pursue. Any relationship where I don't mind being the person who's like, get the fuck off of me, that's fine. But somebody has to be doing it. It can't just be two people in love. I can't handle that. That feels very.
There's no drama. There's no frisson.
There's no. It's not honest. It feels dishonest. It feels like, what are we in a fucking play right now? You know what I mean? So if somebody's
it's
into
a bad
me,
play. Good plays, good play. Arthur Miller, the people you've heard of, it's not love.
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, let's admit our conflicted feelings here, up to the point of stinging.
Yeah. And I don't like that. I think it's dishonest for me to walk around my life and being like, that sucks, that's gay, that's bad. And then I step into sex and I'm like, my love.
Yeah.
That's dishonest. And they know it's dishonest. Yeah. And they know that I'm an analytical and discerning person. So the way that I can make them feel comfortable also is to be like, you fucking suck. And they're like, do I? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that, at least I'm not putting on like a show.
That's how I always felt about when people were upset about Louis. So I was like, so you think the most non-linear person on earth.
Yeah.
Is he thinks non-linearly about everything except the most non-linear thing, and then he's a fucking boy
right.
scout.
That's like Marilyn Manson. I'm like, you think that guy is nice to women?
Yeah.
That's what you thought? It's crazy.
Okay, so I'd also like to point out something that I don't judge you when I say, like, you're complicated and you like sifting. I don't say, like, look at you over there. I'm not like, you poor thing.
No,
it like up here of like, no, I put my boots on as well.
Yeah, yeah,
And get to sifting. It's not, it's basically ground zero.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about, tell me more about rage and anti-authority, because I am, do you think society's stupid-ish?
Yeah.
But you'd like to be a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like a big justice component. There's a big I can't let somebody get away with something. You know, like when I'm at the hotel, right? The hotel is like, hey, you didn't actually pay for your hotel room. And I go, yeah, I for sure did. I for sure paid.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of money actually for it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you have to give us your card. And I go, I'm going to need you to get the manager. And then the manager goes, oh, yeah, she did pay for it. See? I turn to that other person, and I could be like, thank you so much, and go upstairs. But I turn to that other person, and I go, so what happens now that you just almost made me pay twice? What do we do about that?
Not only can I relate to what you're saying, there have been times where I want to, you ever, like, just a bad interaction?
Yeah.
And then I want to, like, do a show or whatever content about, like, So what do you think just happened?
Yeah.
Just let's get a two shot.
Yeah.
What do you, like a body cam, whatever. Just like, walk me through what you think just happened.
Yep.
I'm begging to know what you thought.
Yeah.
Show me. I'm going to get a shot of the computer screen. I want to know exactly what happened. And then why do you think I was the mark? Because it's hard not to think that they think you're the mark. Because I think they do.
With me, it's more like, what's going on now in your head? Are you justifying this somehow? Yeah. Are you going to walk away from this and be like, well, if she didn't pay, da 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 da? Or are you really thinking like, I fucked that up? Because if you're thinking, I fucked that up, we're good.
We're good.
But if I don't think that's what your face is saying right now. Yeah, it's like that.
Fix your face.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, that's like, you know, it's like I opened my door the other day and there was a bicyclist coming and I barely opened it, but he goes, fuck you. And I was like, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I wasn't looking at all. And he goes, yeah, I know you weren't fucking bitch or something like that. And I lost it. And I was just like, I just apologized. I made abundantly clear that I didn't know, that I didn't check. And now you're going to double down on the apology. I was like, what kind of person, you know, and I like, it's this justice thing where I'm like, I can't let things go. I need people to know exactly.
That's me with saying that I was mad for 6 weeks. I mean, and that's a form of it.
Yeah,
me going, totally. I made the content.
Yeah. Totally.
Basically, like that's how I just, and it is a part of me, I do want to thwart them. I didn't want to thwart, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just, like, we're friends. So it's like, I'm not thwarting
you
it.
You have
but
to
I am
know
like,
the mentality.
Yeah, like what? Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Like, why? We can't all be doing this.
I just have to know the train of thought. Like, if somebody just get, even if somebody's like, I'm a sociopath and I do things that hurt people on purpose, fine. But it's like, I
respect.
Need to know how.
You're better than fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I need to know. That's why I'm good friends with Chloe Radcliffe, because she can do this thing where she's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where she just is like, she'll have this like horrendous view on something.
Because she did a show about cheating.
Right.
I was like, how do you do a show about cheating?
And she will let me sit there and pick her apart and be like, I need you to walk. The guy walks in. You know that you have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Tell me exactly what the feeling is. And there's no facade. There's no like, well, I wasn't thinking about him. Fuck you. Yes, you were. And what were you thinking about? You know what I mean? Like, I have to know how things are, how people got to the place of being insane. I need to know what happened. And I was raised like that too. If I fucked up and then said sorry to my mom, she'd be like, just explain to me exactly how you got there.
Yeah.
And then it would be fine. One woman jerked off my boyfriend under a blanket one time. A woman.
You were an adult?
We were like 18 and I fell asleep on the couch. He was here and she was there and she jerked him off under the, and I was like, I need to know everything.
Did you film it? Okay.
I need to know everything that led you to the point of doing that.
I know. Because it really is like, then I'm almost fine with it.
Fine.
If you can explain, because even politically, when liberals are like, I can't believe, and it's like, you can't imagine getting to a place of wanting to have a border policy.
Yeah.
You can't fathom it.
Yeah. And if you can't fathom it, do ask somebody how they got to that point.
But also, they'll tell you. It's really like a one-step, two-step process.
Yeah, totally. I know. And I forget who I was talking to recently where I was like, I just need... Oh, after the lecture. I was like, I need to understand... Like, I do have to understand everybody's exact train of thought. The thing that's fucked up right now is like, you follow this train of thought for different political positions and it all gets to this place where it's just like... false, where people are just like, that never happened, and they go that never happened, and we're like, I'm like, where does that leave me? There's no,
they say that what you believe is based on something that didn't happen.
Take like if you're thinking about the Israel versus Palestine, everybody goes down the line and they go, well, that didn't actually happen, and then this group goes, well, that didn't actually happen,
right?
And then you look it up and both parties go, that didn't happen, and you're like, there's
no, like, this is a bad source, you can't trust this source, and you go, okay, well then we can't.
How?
I have to trust something.
Yes.
I have
to
believe some fact.
Yeah. And facts are very lost now. And people arguing in bad faith is probably it's probably what activates me so much. Like if a cop pulling you over and you being like, you know for a fact that I wasn't going that fast. And if you just tell me right now, hey man, I have to meet a certain quota of tickets I need to give out. And you got nailed.
Give me the ticket.
Yeah. Totally. But when they don't do that, now I'm activated. Like at TSA, when they go, you've been randomly selected, I'm like, send me, stick the wand in my ass. But when they just go that way, and you go, why? And they go that way. Yep. Oh, I'm like, you will give me an explanation of why the wand is in my ass. But random selection, totally fine. Totally fine.
Completely agreed. And do you think most people are like this? Because Chappelle one time said he's never met someone more obsessed with fairness than me.
Oh, I'm so obsessed with fairness.
I'm like obsessed. I always said like a pivotal moment in my life is when someone made a sandwich and then they go, you split it and then the other one picks it. The other person picks which, and I'm like, this is the coolest dynamic I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And can we do, and I want everything that's happened since to be like that, and none of it is.
I remember being like,
except when it benefits me, and then I want it to benefit me.
Yeah, and then you can justify.
Then it's fine.
I remember writing my name on something in preschool and having a girl cross out my name and write her name, and going to the teacher and being like, "This is mine." And I remember pointing at my name and being like, "You crossed my name out." And she was like, "No, I didn't. That's not your name under there." And I was like, "Well, you can't see it because of the marker, but you know that you crossed it out." And she was like, "No, I didn't." And I remember being like, I can't, I need to understand how she's at the point of lying. I think that's what it is. I need to understand how people can be self-deceptive. And that's why my life falls apart when I'm deceptive.
But you know that they can't, a lot of people can't explain it.
Right, but that drives me crazy. They can't come near me. Those people cannot come anywhere near me. I just got out of a relationship like that where it was like, I would be like, do you see this?
And by the way, and there are plenty of ways in which we can't explain why we're like, why we do the things we do. We like to think we can.
Yeah.
But like, you think we can explain everything? Do you think it will be the right explanation?
I think I'd be open to the right explanation if it was given to me. And that's the, if somebody said, I actually think you're doing this because of this and it felt right, I would admit that. A lot of people are like, I have to adhere to the narrative I've given myself. And that makes me want to kill people.
That's the, yeah.
Like, somebody, I will not admit this because that would mean this about me. Who gives a fuck if that means that about you? Then make that about you. Then learn that that's about you.
I think you and I would find it liberating and other people find it scary. Somebody one time said like...
Well, then they have no awareness of death.
Alain de Botton, who was a guest on the pod. And
no, how did you get him?
I just DM'd him. And it's that simple. And
I love him.
And but he wrote a book 20 years ago called Status Anxiety.
Yeah.
And once you know that most things are about status.
Yeah.
Which is why I was mad at you for canceling. I was like, who the fuck does she think she's fucking higher status? She can just go, no. I'm like, that's why I literally said like, hey, I'm successful when we scheduled this yesterday.
Yeah, I was like that.
I know you do. But a lot of people will be like, oh, Neil thinks it's like, let's just all admit that we're all status animals.
Yeah.
And I don't like being in a spot. You've heard the thing, it's a minor stat, but when they're on planes where you have to walk through business and first class, the incidence of air rage are higher because people are humiliated on those flights by having you like walk through like, get out. You have to walk through.
Yeah.
And it makes people, it's like the stats not huge, but it is higher.
Like when they have to go to the bathroom.
When you board the plane, you have to walk through business and first. Like just that's any airplane. Right. And if you're in economy, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, totally.
And so on those flights, there are the incidents of air rage are slightly higher. And they believe that's why. It's because they're mad because their status has been confirmed to them and it's low.
Yeah. Why don't they board the back of the plane from the back?
I think it's probably one of these like it's too late things.
Yeah.
That like
but they really should do that.
But well, because then you'd have to tell the rich people you're boarding last, then their status is lower. And then they don't like that.
Yeah.
Or you tell the poor people you board first, but you're gonna have a walk through.
Right.
Beverly Hills.
To get
to Compton.
Yeah.
And like, that's not, there's just, and by the way, and you have to board from the building, the terminal and the, like the air thing isn't long.
Yeah.
But But the like just status, just like let's acknowledge what's happening. You think I'm ugly, so you didn't think you could have to be nice to me, or you didn't think I was somebody, or you didn't think you don't like black, or whatever your category is.
Yeah.
And people would just go, Trevor Noah one time said, the racism in South Africa is easier to deal with because they're open about it. The white people just go, no, we're better than you, so you're going to get worse stuff. Whereas in America, they go, we're all the same. You're getting worse stuff because you're worse.
Right. That is a
worse person.
About you. Yeah, totally.
Because you're a failure, not because the system's rigged. In South Africa, they go, no, it's the system. It's rigged.
Yeah. I find there's sometimes people will tiptoe around it with comedy with me. Well, they'll talk about how I'm doing. And I'm like, well, I say really egregious shit on stage that gets people to watch it on Instagram. I have really hard takes that get a lot of buzz. And I'm also a woman, which helps a lot. And they're just like, oh,
like, you know that?
Yeah. And I'm like, 100%. Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not, I'm a woman with rage. How often do you, that you don't see that very often.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is like, yeah, not having lucidity around stuff. It does drive me completely. When the amount of times my friends will be participating in a pattern over and over and over again, and I will illuminate it to them and they will be like, you're hurting my feelings. That upsets me so much.
That because you're not allowed to.
How would illuminating a pattern of your behavior possibly hurt you? That drives me crazy.
Couldn't agree more, of
course. If it's false, then it's false. Then that could be annoying.
The thing about being, have people been overly honest with you in a way that hurt your feelings? And how long did it hurt for?
People been overly honest. Yeah, totally. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I mean, let me think. I push back for a bit. There's definitely this moment where I'm like, no, fuck you. This is fine. And then pretty quickly, I'm able to be like, oh, holy shit, that's 100% correct. But that does not lead to a depression. That leads to like an elevation.
Does it affect the friendship?
It makes it closer for sure. For sure. I mean, and it's like, yeah, I feel like actually known for sure. But it is, people have been like, you know, you're so incredibly afraid to be alone that you're willing to completely sabotage all of these things in your life of your fear of being alone or something like that. Or like somebody was like, you think you're so entitled that you get to act this way around people, da 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 da. And it does, it definitely hurts, but it doesn't lead to like a hurt that's like, this person thinks that about me, and so I'm bad. It's like, it definitely feels like they've laid out like a stepping stone. Like I remember my mom when I was trying to go into college, and she was like, well, you don't get good grades, so you're just going to go to the community college. And I was so hurt, and I was like, what? And she was like, that's reality. And then I got way better grades because I was like, yeah, what? So like it sucks for a minute and it does make me hostile. It's like rage. And then it's like, oh shit, you're 100% right. And now I have to like I have to overcome that. I can't sink into it as a reality. Like I can't be like, yeah, and that is how it is.
And what are your goals for yourself now? Not professional, just like
I just want
personally.
I want to operate in reality very much, and I also want to. I don't want to fall into delusion. That's a big thing. I fall into delusion, and I want to
delusion about what?
Like maybe this thing will work out with this person, or maybe this delusion can also be like maybe I. And maybe that person doesn't like me, so they didn't give me this. Or maybe Esty didn't give me that many spots because she thinks da da da. And I know the reality. I know exactly what's going on. So I want to be able to maintain reality, even though sometimes if I accept reality, like say I accept like, hey, you had a really good set just then. My first fear is the second you accept positive realities, they'll be taken away from you. That has to stop. And I'm working on that, but that has to stop. Because my preparation for pain is making it so that I can't experience good things. So that's my goal, is to, like, if something good is there, to see that it is good for what it is, not just to see the negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what else are we fucking doing then? What's the fun of that?
It's just familiar.
It's so familiar, yeah.
But it's not fun. It's bad.
Yeah. And I just do it constantly. I'll be like, I love my dog so much. When she dies, I'll have to kill myself. And I'm like, okay, let's try that again. I love my dog so much. Stop. You know what I mean? It's like, so I'm trying to do that. That's what I want for
myself. You know what you could use? A spray bottle for yourself.
I know. I know. It's so active. I have to be so fucking on it. It's crazy how much I go there for self-preservation.
This was Jordan Jensen, guys. The podcast is called R.I.P. And the special is called Take Me With You. You decide what it's about. And I had a great time. And I feel like we've elevated our relationship.
We should just make our podcast one. What are we doing? We'd have all the same guests.
Oh, share, because I'm not going to schedule with you.
Fair.
Goodbye.